I'm Andrew Brummett, and I'm a director in Microsoft IT Group, supporting Microsoft's Customer Service and Support Group. And customer service and support is a challenging business at Microsoft. We have billions of customers around the world that are going to need help at some point in time. And those customers range from large enterprises that are using our cloud and our on-premises solutions to small, medium business, down to individual consumers that may have questions about a purchase that they made or need some help with something like their Xbox. At its core, support is a very simple business, not a very easy business, but a very simple business. And the simplicity is, if you give customers answers that solve their issues in the time that they want those answers and in the manner that they find easy, you've done a pretty good job at support. And we had a pretty big challenge. One of the areas that I manage is support.microsoft.com, which is a large website that we use to support our customers. We get about 20 million users per day coming through support.microsoft.com. And about a year and a half ago, we noticed that we had a large challenge there because it was very unclear what the results of SMC were relative to the investment that we were making in the platform. We would spend a lot of time doing releases that we thought were going to meet customer needs. They'd take months and months and months, and they'd ship, and we'd have a really not a great idea of what the impact was that we had. After coming into this space, it was clear to me that we needed a new way of operating.
Well, we realized with our engineering model that we'd become an opinion and idea-driven engineering team, which is not necessarily a bad thing when you're coming up with version one of an application or of a feature. But once you have a baseline, you can actually use the data to drive the enhancements that you need versus further opinion design. This is when we decided, hey, we're gonna have to become a data-driven engineering team. And that sounds simple, and it's the latest buzzword that a lot of people are using, but it wasn't simple at all for us. It took us about 6 months to get everything in place before we really felt like we were a data-driven group. The first phase was, where do we store all this data? Like, we were capturing tons of web clicks, trends through our tagging solutions that we had to put somewhere. And that's where the SQL Server platform helped us quite a bit from a Microsoft team. The second piece was, all right, now that we have all this data stored in this huge warehouse, what are we gonna do with it? How are we gonna get it to our engineers, our program managers to make decisions from it? This is where Power BI came in for us. Power BI was a great way for us to get views in front of our engineers that were easy for them to understand and also allow them to do the analysis to come up with ideas that no one else might have had. Between Power BI and Excel, we were up and running within weeks versus months. This was great for us because we were able to leverage the Microsoft technology and still meet the business goals that we needed to make. The other big thing for us was all our infrastructure was still kind of on the legacy old-premises data centers around the world, which was great and met our scalability needs in terms of keeping the website up and running. But anytime we wanted to do a deployment, there was a lot of overhead with that. You'd have to pull the servers out of rotation, patch it, put the code on, put it back in, and test to make sure everything was working. That's when we decided to move everything to the cloud. Now that we had all our web properties on the cloud, this gave us the flexibility to do as many flights as we wanted a month without any overhead to our engineering and operations teams. Now that we had the data, we had the infrastructure to leverage the data, we had the views to understand the data, and that's where the execution comes in.
We realized that in order to quickly meet our business and customer expectations, we needed to adopt a flighting strategy. So we met with the Bing team, who were already seasoned pros at this, and were iteratively improving experiences daily so that we could glean best practices both from a methodology and a platform perspective. It also helped being on Azure because it meant that we could deploy faster than ever, and it unlocked the necessary agility required to flight weekly or even daily as opposed to aligning to monthly engineering sprints. The flighting philosophy is simple, really, but incredibly powerful. The concept is that you analyze your site's analytics data and identify areas that are low performing. This data, coupled with survey results and customer verbatims, allows you to really pinpoint what needs to be improved in order to increase important KPIs such as customer satisfaction, issue resolution, and also engagement with the site itself. For example, When we first launched the site, we thought we had a stellar homepage. Everyone was so proud of it. And yet we realized that one of our main calls to action, displayed prominently as part of the hero banner, barely got any clicks. At the same time, we realized that 58% of customers would land on the page and bounce with no interaction. It became clear fast that we needed to play around with both the layout and the content of the page to improve its performance and better serve our customers. With Flighting, it's important to change just one element on the page in an ABC fashion to really gauge the impact that particular element is having. So, to take the example of the hero banner, we changed the primary call to action to reflect feedback our customers had given us through the site survey. Essentially, users wanted to get to phone and chat support fast, so we called those contact methods out more prominently. Click-through immediately increased by a whopping 400%. But conversely, customer satisfaction overall on the site did not increase. In fact, it reduced. So through testing, we realized that although users responded really well to the new call to action, when they then landed on our Contact Us page, they were confused as to what to do next and bounced right back to the homepage. Or worse, we saw a pattern where users would land on our Contact Us page and then re-click on the Contact Us link in our site's navigation, as if they didn't realize that they were already in the right place. A/B testing allowed us to very quickly address this issue, which was a fundamental user experience flaw on support.microsoft.com. We started flighting lots of different experiences on our Contact Us page as part of numerous parallel A/B and multivariate tests to understand how we could reduce bounce from this page. It was exciting to see customer responses based on the changes we introduced. In the end, using icons instead of images and also having a much clearer call to action reduced reclicks on the Contact Us link in the navigation from 50% to under 8%, which was phenomenal, really. But you know, some of the biggest wins for us actually came with the smallest changes. In Microsoft Consumer Support, the majority of our customers land on what we call a knowledge base article, or KB article, which is essentially self-help content. We realized that much of the time, customers were just not clicking on key download links in these KBs, which would have quickly resolved their issue. We were gobsmacked when we saw this data, and so we made the hypothesis that we should test changing these simple links that we guessed users just weren't seeing to prominent buttons so that they appear to be more clickable. Turns out we did the right thing. Click-through increased. With this win, we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. We looked at industry studies and tried implementing different button colors to see whether we could impact engagement and customer satisfaction even further. It worked. Changing the button color to orange increased click-through by 34%. But probably the biggest impact for us was on issue resolution, which was driven up by 40%, and customer satisfaction, which increased dramatically by 56%. Just a tiny change, but a massive success story for us. As a team, we were on a roll and kept a great pace throughout this journey. At any one time, we would try to have between 40 to 60 flights on the go. We'd meet twice a week to analyze BI, come up with new flights, and then review the data from existing tests. As soon as we had enough data to support our hypothesis, we would release it. Configurable changes such as content and button color or images could be implemented within an hour or two, whereas changes to code would happen as part of weekly or bi-weekly agile small releases. The reality is that this was worlds apart from what we'd been used to before we became data-driven, and it felt amazing. As a cumulative result of all these flights, in the space of just 6 months, we were able to increase customer satisfaction by 10 points. In the realm of consumer online support, this is huge.
And what amazing results. It turns out that using things like Power BI and just rich data allowed us to make very informed decisions and improve customer satisfaction on our website. And frankly, the use of Power BI plus the Azure backends that allowed us to do those agile developments, 60 to 70 flights a month, really allowed us to take that knowledge about what customers liked and what they didn't like and make changes every single day, tweaking up customer satisfaction here and there. it turns out that the infrastructure that was built there has played a vital part in the readiness for Windows 10. And you're going to see that support and service are a huge part of what we're doing with Windows 10, in some part because of the work that we've done here and the fact that we were able to prove that with a focus on data and data-driven engineering, we can really turn around experiences very, very quickly. All in all, this has been a huge win for our customers. And I'm so excited about the progress that we've made in this journey.